totally predictable. You know what? Not everything is going perfectly right. Empathy for other people's point of view. You're not listening.
He's back.
Yep.
It's a Mulcaire Monday with Tom Mulcaire on More in the Morning.
And CTV political analyst, former federal NDP leader Thomas Mulcaire joins us. Happy Monday, sir.
Good to be with you, John.
I don't know if you cheer for the Maple Leafs, but that does take the edge off for a lot of people.
Of course I cheered for the Maple Leafs. Yeah. I was so heartbroken. It was so close. And, you know, we have another reason in Montreal to really be cheering on the Maple Leafs this year, because we hate the Boston Bruins that much. So it was even easier than usual.
Yeah. No, I remember that growing up, because owing to geography, you know, yeah, Boston fans would turn up in Montreal and make a nuisance of themselves.
You got it.
Okay.
We used to get them back and go down there once in a while, too.
Yeah. So. I love that city. So Dominic LeBlanc says Justin Trudeau is absolutely the best person to lead the Liberals in the next election. Do you think he said that at the point of a gun?
Yes. I mean, what else was he going to say? Well, I think that he's the best person there is, but just in case he decides not to stick around, I've got this whole committee organizing my leadership run. I mean, that's the stuff that came out, that Lawrence Martin. Nobody questioned Lawrence Martin's story, by the way, about people around Dominic LeBlanc organizing for him. But Dominic LeBlanc is a loyalist, and he's also a very seasoned politician, and he wants to stick around for a while. So he's saying all the right things, blowing smoke up the wazoo of Mr. Trudeau. Mr. Trudeau's going to have to come to a decision. I mean, you know, it's getting rough. Last week's back and forth about Wacko and change, you know, throwing the leader of the opposition for absolutely no valid reason out of the house. It just shows that things are tightening. The politics of it is as rough and tumble as I've ever seen. But at some point, something's going to give, because Mr. Trudeau is, if that's the type of political fight that he wants to have with Polyev, like just throwing live ammunition and white phosphorus at everything to try to get attention and to try to beat up on the guy who's 21 points ahead of him, it's going to be a rough time for Canadians, John. I think everybody deserves better than what we've been seeing.
Well, it's interesting. In England, routinely, the cabinet and caucus rebel and eject a prime minister. That doesn't seem to be much of a practice here.
Well, it has been sometimes. I mean, remember Aaron O'Toole. Paul Martin, how many knives he could stick into Jean Chrétien's back and Aaron O'Toole, you know, unceremoniously turfed. So it does happen, but Mr. Trudeau does seem to have a handle on things, given the fact that he brought that party back from the brink. I mean, let's not forget the disaster that was Michael Ignatieff. So Trudeau's always going to get credit for that. He's won three elections, two of them minority, fair enough, but still, he's still there, even though in the last two elections, he got the Liberals got fewer votes than the Conservatives. But the charm is starting to wear off. Everybody knows that. Everybody around Trudeau knows that. Does Trudeau himself know it? I think somewhere in his heart of hearts he does, but he seems, at least for the time being, to be headstrong and set on giving it one last chance. He might wind up with an Ignatieff-type result if he does, but at some point, he's going to be the master of his own fate.
So a parliamentary report on the Declaration of the Emergencies Act is now, what, 18 months past due? And in university, they would never put up with that.
Yeah, and one of the main reasons, this is worth talking about, because we're a bilingual country, all of our institutional stuff has to be done in French and in English. So this is a team, you know, this is a group work that was supposed to take place of parliamentarians from both sides and from both houses. So you're going to have senators and MPs sitting down and giving their own report on the invocation of the Emergencies Act. But as you mentioned, it's way past due. It was due in September of 2022. So what's happening? Well, it was a translation issue. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but after the Supreme Court ruled, I was put in charge of revising all of the statutes and regulations of the province of Manitoba, because they had in the mid-80s, they'd been told, no, you illegally stopped translating and all this stuff has to be readied in French by now. So we did it. And it's very difficult, but the resources are there. And this is a question of resources. If Parliament is going to function in both official languages, it's got to put the resources on the table. And they exist, by the way. You could have gone to private companies. There's a lot of availability of resources. Just the index of this apparently runs to over 100 pages. So you can imagine how many documents are involved. But you know what? The same thing is happening in Quebec right now. They came up with a new rule that is probably unconstitutional, because judges are allowed to use the language of their choice. But judges in Quebec have been told that they have to immediately have a translation available if they're going to be sending out a ruling in English, even if all the parties were using English and are English speaking. So that's going to add to the backlog of the Jordan principle. And there's already one case where a very strong lawyer is simply arguing you're putting yourself past the Jordan principle if he doesn't get his judgment in time. And they're saying now that there are huge, many months of backlog to get your translation done. And so this is something that we've got to come to grips with. You would have thought that after 50 years of the Official Languages Act, we'd have this stuff figured out, but apparently we don't.
Well, it just seems, when it comes to this business of Quebec courts, it seems wasteful. And also, I'm somewhat surprised. I mean, I know all kinds of people who do translation from their homes, and they can get the work done in a day. So I don't know why there's this backlog.
There's a massive backlog because it's all about resources. Because what we've just talked about, paying, in this case, freelancers to do this stuff, and you have revisers to make sure that's all up to snuff, but they don't have the money for it. So the same thing in Parliament. This stuff could have been translated a long time ago, but they would have had to come up with the budget for it, and they clearly didn't have it. And so when somebody sits there, you know, is a French speaker, comes in, wants to have their documents in French, it's an absolute right. But the people who are in charge of Parliament and budgets know that in advance. So there's no excuse whatsoever for what happened around the work on the Emergencies Act. And by the way, John, they might as well just hang the thing up right now, because who's going to even pay attention to it when their report finally comes out 2.5 years after the fact?
Yeah. Okay. And there was a Liberal MP who says she's not going to run again because of the toxic political culture. What do you say?
I say I got to know Pam Damoff because we attended a conference together. And I have to say, she is exactly the type of person you want in politics. Engaged, engaging, really there for the people in her riding, very hard worker in Parliament. And she's just hanging it up, saying, I'm not dealing with this anymore. So talk to anybody who's in politics, particularly at the municipal level, where, you know, the proximity means that the cuckoo birds who used to sit in front of their computer screens typing really bad words out on their keyboard, now they're walking into the town hall meeting and they're letting fly. It's as if civic-minded behavior, civility, has just gone out the window in the world of social media. So some people, good people like Pam Damoff, and I wish her all the best, are just saying, not worth it. And by the way, she points specifically to the fact that this is taken out more often than not on women, and she's right. And I think that it's an obligation of all politicians to come to grips with this.
Thanks a lot for this. Always a pleasure.
Great to talk to you, John.
Thomas Mulcair, former leader of the opposition in Ottawa.